According to a study published in the American Academy of Pediatrics, less work and more play helps a child to learn, develop socially, and promotes better health. Researchers also reported that curbing free time at school robs youngsters of needed exercise, leads to unruly classrooms, and ultimately the tragedy of listening to...
Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
Savvy consumers are lining up today to be the first to purchase Sony's brand new stupid piece of shit that doesn't do the goddamn thing it's fucking supposed to. Onion News Network Tech Trends reporter Jeff Tate has more.
Thanks, Brandon. It's being called the biggest fucking waste of your hard-earned money to come along in years. Sony's new stupid box thing hit the shelves at crowded malls and overpriced electronics stores around the country today.
It's got a whole bunch more memory and megapixels and whatnot than any of the other TV shit that I already have. I can't wait to get home and spend my whole fucking night trying to figure the goddamn thing out.
If you can somehow claw and bite your way through the impossible to open packaging, this stupid piece of shit offers a wide variety of frustrating as hell functions, including flashing random fucking words and numbers on its display screen, not coming with the fucking little doohickey thing it's supposed to, and being goddamned ass backward as fuck. Sony spokesman Alan Compton said the company designed this sucking fucking goddamn thing to make everyone in the modern home want to tear their fucking eyeballs out.
We listened hard to what our customers said they wanted the most out of their own home entertainment system, and then we pumped out this impossible-to-use fucking piece of shit.
Anyone mystified by the device's numerous extraneous features can scroll through the interactive help menu, a labyrinthine maze of indecipherable topics of use to fucking no one.
We want people to be screaming in unison from houses across the country, "Work, work, you cocksucking piece of shit. What is wrong with you? Why can't you work like a normal machine?"
With a $100 million nationwide campaign to plaster irritating-ass advertisements for the retarded hunk of garbage every single goddamn place you look, Sony is expecting it to become the next fucking gizmo you absolutely have to fucking own if you don't want to feel like a toothless hillbilly living in some hillbilly shack somewhere.
I love bullshit like this. Basically, I'll buy any goddamn thing that I see in an ad.
The fucking piece of shit is available now.
Fuck.
So run out and pick one up and invite all of your friends over to see if any of them can figure out this motherfucking time vampire. Unless one of them is a rocket scientist, Sony pretty much guarantees they'll have no chance. For the Onion News Network, I'm Jeff Tate.
Thanks, Jeff. Sony says they plan to release an...
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Highway Department Flagman.
Mr. Highway Department Flagman.
You're entrusted with the awesome responsibility of kind of definitely almost telling us it's our turn to head down the only open lane on a two-way street in rush hour.
It's always the other side's turn.
You, sir, take that orange flag and with the dexterity of a tree sloth, make a gesture that says, "Go!" Or is that "Stop"? Or are you trying to scare away a bee?
We'll never know!
Yes, Mr. Highway Department Flagman, you're too portly to fit down a manhole. You don't have the expertise to operate a shovel. So they gave you a reflective vest and entrusted you with our very lives.
Just hit the gas and pray.
So the next time you see a man at work sign, crack a butt light to someone who's not even working and who on closer inspection might not even be a man. Mr. Highway Department Flagman, a real American hero.
Mr. Highway Department Flagman.
Ambiguous hand gesture, St. Louis, Missouri.
And now it's time for the best morning show on radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Sherry in the morning. To join the show, dial 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. And now here's your morning show hosts, Sam and Sherry.
And good morning. It's Wednesday, October 7th.
Good morning,
and
Samuel.
And more beautiful than ever, Sherry.
Than ever. How many beers did you have this morning?
Well, I don't know. You keep getting better every day.
I love it. See, this is how I make people fall in love.
I see. Okay.
It takes time.
Yeah, it didn't take me very long.
Yes. I'm getting better.
Yes. So how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing really well.
Yeah, you got your coffee,
I got
so
coffee.
You're back to normal now.
I know. When I went in this morning, she goes, tea again? I was like, no. How would you ever let me do something like
back
that?
Back to the coffee.
Definitely. Definitely. As coffee makes me, not that I'm not already loving enough, but it makes me want to hug everybody.
Really?
Yeah. And
sounds like ecstasy.
It does a little bit, but it's a problem on airplanes because I just I'm sitting there in this enclosed space and I just want to put my arms around the person next to me.
Yeah, wow. What is that all about?
I don't know. I get overwhelmed with love and I'm like, I love the world.
Are you like a touchy-feely type of person? You like to touch?
Well, in what circumstance?
Well, in every circumstance.
I don't know. I guess, yeah, but, you know, my family wasn't really touchy-feely, though, which is weird.
Like, really?
Yeah, no, we weren't.
Maybe that's why you crave it.
Could very well be. Yeah. Or maybe because guys treat me like shit. I'm just like, someone hug me. Don't just fuck me. No, I don't know. Caffeine, even when I was driving this morning on Ventura, I always look up at the palm trees because it's my favorite part of the day. And want to hug those.
Remind
too.
You, you're in California. Even the trees you wanted to hug. Well, be careful of that.
They're beautiful.
Yeah, tree hugging is not a good thing.
It's only not good if you have hairy armpits and you don't shave your legs. Then you're a real tree hugger.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a stereotype.
No, not at all. But no, I mean, LA is beautiful. You know, I mean,
it's
like, you know, it's sunny every day, mm-hmm. and the palm trees remind you, you're in LA.
Yeah, but how many days do you drive, though, and actually pay attention? Most people are just, looking at the road while they're looking at their phones texting.
That's true. Most of the time we do, yeah.
I have to tell you, though, that since I started hanging out with you and listening and hearing all these texting stories.
Oh, no.
No, I've calmed down a bit on my texting.
Oh,
I actually
really?
Feel a little guilty, even though I think I'm a really good texter and driver.
Yeah.
As soon as I pick the phone up, I think about you or, I think about your car accident. I think about you saying, just how bad it is. And I'm like, Sherry, put the phone down. The person can wait.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I'm a
that's
little better true. At it.
Good, good. I'm
Except
glad
I did do a
that.
Facebook status update at the red light today, and then someone had to honk me to go.
You just had to do it at the red light.
Well, I was advertising us. So I thought
it
was worth
it.
Oh, I
see. That's an exception.
I thought it was worth it. I was like, we're on in 15 minutes.
You're sick. You can do it before you leave the house.
I didn't think about it until I was driving. I'm like, maybe I should have, a few more listeners today.
Yeah.
So it's helping us.
Yeah, so I'm going to risk my life in order to do that.
See, I'm risking my life for you, Sam.
Yeah.
Not for me. It's all about you.
It's all about me. I don't think so. I figured now I'm... I heard that I'm in your support staff now.
I told you that yesterday. So, you told us not to pay attention.
Yeah, I guess I didn't, but I do now.
No, I called your support staff and you said Sherry and friends. I was like, no. Sherry and her support staff.
Yeah. I do forget half the things I say. But I have to plan the show in my head,
Okay.
So we had a guest here and everything.
That's true.
Didn't you say it when the guest was here or before?
Before.
Before. I'm sorry. Thank you. Now I feel like a real schmuck.
No, but you have a lot going on there. I give you props. I think I've told you before. I can barely do this.
Yeah. Well, I was actually thinking I need to train you how to do this because eventually we'll switch places.
I'm not very good with technical things.
Well, I'm already feeling like the janitor, I told you. I don't know where this show is going.
Well, you brought me my water this morning. That's a good start.
Yeah. Tomorrow it's drive to Starbucks, get me my coffee.
Just make sure you're here on time, please. Because I don't know how to turn that on.
Yeah.
But you know what would happen if I ran it? I would do the whole show, and then at the end I'd find out it was never on. That's
probably
what would happen to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I when I used to do my video blogs, there was one time I did this huge long one, and I thought it was really great, and then it never recorded.
Oh, my God. How terrible is
that? Well, it was terrible for me, probably not the people that didn't have to watch it.
Yeah.
So, I forgot to tell you. I called my mom the other day, and she said she would totally call up because you asked that particular
really?
Day. Yeah.
Wow.
I said, just so you know, Mom, he's probably going to ask you some personal questions.
No, and not necessarily. I mean, not if I don't have to.
No,
you're right. I would. But I wouldn't put her in an uncomfortable position.
Oh, no. My mom.
It's your mom, after all.
Well, where do you think I came from? She was a swinger, remember?
That's true. Oh, wow.
Right. We've got a Jew for Jesus. We've got a swinger. She's a very mixed, crazy lady.
Yeah.
Well, I told her that, and she was like, okay, Sherry. In her, like, older age, like, she was very introverted before, and now she's, like, coming out of her shell. She turned 60, and, you know, she's really ready to live her life. She just started drinking. Not, like, drinking, but, you know, having a cocktail, which she never had her whole life.
Really?
Yeah, we went out to lunch when I was just
she's
home.
She's starting to live now.
I know. We went out to lunch, and we went, and the waitress came, and I got an order an iced tea. My mom goes, an iced tea? Yeah. She's like, I'll have a Cosmo. And I looked at her. I was like, who are you? And who took over my mother? Yeah. So I was like, all right. And we had our first drink together. Like,
really?
In my whole life. Yeah. So she's all fun now.
You think she's sexually active now?
She wishes she was. I mean, she was dating a guy for the first time. Like, my parents have been divorced for, like, over 30 years. And she hasn't really had a boyfriend. Oh, God, I just realized I'm her now. Oh, my God, I just had a discovery. Mine's been 15 years. This would have been 30. Okay, I'm ending that right now. Wow. She just recently, in the last year, I'm, like, blown away by this in my head right now. She just recently, in the last year, like, was started dating a guy, and so they were sexually active, and she would mention it, and my sister would be like, we don't want to hear this, Mom. So I don't think she's whoring herself or anything out there, but cool. She has sex.
Okay, well, we'll talk more about it. We have a phone call. Oh. Let's see. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's this?
This is Tommy. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Tommy. What's going on? Tommy from New York.
Good morning, Tommy.
Yeah, she almost choked.
You called right when I was sipping coffee. I'm like, great. I mean, hi.
Did I understand you to say, Sherry, that your mother is a swinger for Jesus?
you're not listening carefully.
I've heard lots of things, but come on now.
No, but listen, I mean, she does make Jesus an excuse for everything, so I'm sure she'd find a way to say that's why she should be doing it.
Yeah.
Wow, I've heard it all.
No, no, she used to be a swinger with my dad.
Yeah.
Her and my dad were swingers.
I know, I'm just being a
I know. I just want to clear that for everybody else.
Yeah, anybody who didn't get it.
My mom will get, like, hate fan mail.
Yeah. She's like, well, you know, she was a swinger, but if it was with my dad, it's okay.
No.
That's the way it's supposed to work, really.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Guess.
But maybe that's why they divorced right after that. It doesn't last.
That's very true.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think many relationships can survive that, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think they were trying to make it survive because maybe they couldn't stand having sex with each other.
Yeah, probably.
Wow.
So they were probably on the way out anyway. Tommy, how are you feeling, my man?
I'm doing very well, actually.
Yeah.
Somewhere between Friday and Sunday, everything, like, miraculously turned around, and I woke up Sunday morning feeling energized, completely renewed in spirit and health. No pain, no more happy pills.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So,
you know what that means?
Yeah.
It means time to send the doggy back to me.
It's already gift wrapped, I tell you, with a little bow and everything.
Well, just to let the listeners know, you went into the hospital for a day or two, right?
I went into the hospital, came out, and was immediately back the next day for pop stitches.
Oh.
Wow. Because he decided to work out after surgery.
Yeah.
Who does that?
I told you guys. I mean, I was a quarter mile down the road. It was my normal routine in the morning, and I woke up that next morning and got up and did my thing, and I was a quarter mile down the road before I even realized. Duh.
Yeah.
But who even has the energy to get up after surgery, though? I don't get it.
Yeah.
When you're high on life, you see.
And
the
hills. That's true.
When I take,
that's true. I sometimes do my hiking when I'm high on a pill. I'm like, wow, I could do anything.
Right? I can fly.
So, Tommy, are you calling to tell us about the lesbian, stories, or what was that game again? Twister. Lesbian Twister.
Well, the Twister was a weekend before last.
Right.
And this Friday passed because I was laid up from the surgery. I mean, total bed rest.
No lesbians for you, right?
I'm sorry?
No lesbians on the menu for that on that day.
Yes, actually, they came to me this time.
Oh, I see.
And they brought me a nice little goodie bag of, stuff that was conducive to my diet. You know, some broth and some yogurt and bunch of other things, and everything was great until they broke out the ropes.
What?
The ropes?
Well, I mean, I wasn't in a position where I could actually get up out of bed and do anything else.
Right.
But being tied down, not so much of a problem.
Wait a minute, they walked in and they tied you down to the bed?
Well, I mean, I think the fact that I was like, I just went and said, okay. I think it kind of blew their mind a little bit because I think they expected some sort of a struggle. And
lesbians, get away. Please don't tie me down. I hate women.
Thank you. That's where I was like, okay, go for it. You know, I mean, where am I going to go? so it was was an interesting experience overall.
Now, were they tying you down so you wouldn't touch them?
No. They were tying me down because that was in place of this weekend was supposed to be a lesbian operation, and I was the one who got operated on, so... It didn't exactly work out the way we all planned, but I guess I have an idea of what's supposed to come this weekend.
I didn't know lesbians had such an obsession with Milton Bradley.
Actually, you know what it is the fact that they've been able to, in a non-direct way, be public about everything, and it's going across the airwaves to the country. It's a turn on to them.
Yeah.
And,
hi, ladies.
So they're coming up with ideas, you know, and. And when they started saying something about having listeners call in and give them suggestions, I said, well, back up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, it sounds good, except they're going to have to come on the air in order for us to do that.
Well, that's exactly what I said to them, and unfortunately for them, they're both slammed during the regular work week,
right.
Monday through Friday. This time of day, they're caught up in the midst of...
Yeah, that's all bullshit, man. We're going to call them at work and find out what's going on.
Oh, I should totally do like a dirty phone call to them at work.
Yeah.
What are you wearing? Hi, ladies.
I don't think they'd mind that. It would be like a dirty prank call.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Fun.
Exactly. They can always give an excuse. Tell me, what's the weather like in New York today?
It's absolutely gorgeous. This morning it was raining a little bit, but I guess it was about 10 o'clock. The skies opened up, blue skies, 75, light breeze. Trees have all turned, and the foliage is multiple colors.
Sounds excellent.
And can't ask for a better day.
Yeah.
I heard it's warmer out there than it is here.
Really?
Yeah. My friend was, I said last night, because my allergies started kicking in. I didn't even know I had allergies.
Yeah.
But suddenly I was like sniffling and crying, and he asked me the temperature, and it was like 5 degrees colder here than in New York.
Really?
Than in the city, yeah. That was a little crazy.
Well, I know when I woke up this morning, it was 38.
Okay, well, it's not that cold here.
Yeah. But you know what? I mean, rain in New York, there's nothing better, man.
Yeah.
It's like so romantic and everything. You know, even
aww.
With the dirty streets and the people and everything.
It's ironic you said it like that, because that's exactly the head I was in when I woke up this morning, and I went right back to writing and wrote some romantic crap, too.
Yeah.
It's not crap. You were writing romantic stuff last night on Facebook, I was digging.
Yeah, well, I kind of got inspired
uh-huh.
by a friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
And it was like flowing out of me, so I like came out with two songs, music inclusive, and a whole bunch of different things hit me, you know, just right.
Yeah, I love Facebook for that reason. Like, I get pretty inspired on there reading other people's stuff, and I could put, you know, some creative stuff out there. So, even though most of it's quotes from everybody else,
yeah,
it's cool. But you know what New York has that we don't have? Well, besides everything, you know, like even though we have the cold weather here, they have like all the trees changing colors and all that stuff. Like,
yeah,
that's the best
true.
Part about fall, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that was part of what did it for me on Sunday. You know, I woke up refreshed, and then I grabbed a tea and went up to the Vanderbilt Mansion that overlooks the Hudson. And it was a perfectly blue sky. I mean, there was maybe just a couple of clouds on the horizon. It was 75 degrees with just enough wind to blow your hair.
Mm-hmm.
And across the river, all the trees going up to the Catskill Mountains was just this plateau of different colors. It was amazing.
Really
nice.
Really nice. Have you lived there all your life?
No, I'm originally, my family's from the Bahamas.
Oh,
and
really?
My dad came up here in the 50s to be a minister. And
you're white? Sorry.
Yes.
In the Bahamas, I
actually,
think like I'm selling weed and
Naples. The malls, they used to call me the chocolate chip kid.
Oh, you have some chocolate chips on you?
You don't meet a lot of people from the Bahamas.
About that.
Yeah. No, say it again.
No, so you don't meet a lot of people from the Bahamas.
No, like, really?
I mean, the only time I've ever met Bohemians, is that what you call you guys? Is like when I went to the Bahamas. It's interesting.
Yeah, a lot of people have that misconception, actually. That's one of my grandmothers, my mother said, yeah, I'm engaged to a man from the Bahamas. She said, oh, my God.
He's back.
Well, my mother was from Alabama, so you can just imagine in the 50s what that overtone was.
Wow, yeah.
That's awesome.
She was very happy to see that he was a 6 foot tall gentleman who was white, blue eyes.
Yeah,
that's very unusual. He was probably a tourist there or something, right?
No, he's talking about him.
No. All my family going back to colonial times is from there.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Do you go back there sometimes?
I go back there as often as I can. All my family's there. So,
that's
as a matter of
nice.
Fact, most of my family's on Facebook with me. So that's originally how I got into it.
Yeah.
Why did you leave the Bahamas?
Like I said, my dad came to this country to be a minister. He met my mom when he was getting his bachelor's degree in arts and science. And before he made it into a church, my sister came along, and then the priority was take care of the family. The money was in the Northeast. And his father was a boat builder by trade, by hand, old wooden boats. Wow. So he went into building, and the rest of it's history.
Mm. Very interesting.
You and lesbians, that's
very
history.
Very interesting. That's a good history. Tommy, thank you so much for calling, my friend. We always like to hear from you.
And, my pleasure, as always.
Great to hear you're doing physically better.
Yep.
and mentally you're good, so.
How can he not be?
Yeah, I'll keep in touch with you guys.
Yeah.
Have a
yep,
good day.
Yep, please do.
Congratulations on a new show.
Thank you
it.
Very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Do you
want
to do a sharing with Sherry now? Because we've got a couple of guests.
Uh-huh.
We have one that's an author. And then at 10 o'clock, we're going to have this guy who's going to jump over the Colorado River on a rocket. I'm not kidding.
And he's going to be in studio?
No. He's calling in.
I was like, that's going
to
be a quick trip.
He's too busy to
come
down.
He's taking a rocket from here to the Colorado River. It's like, it's really fast.
I know. But when he wrote me, I thought, yeah, we need to talk to him, you know?
Yeah. definitely. I want to take a ride on his rocket.
So are you ready for
sure,
sharing?
Sure.
Now, I'll let you know that Greg sent me another one, another intro. You know, Greg Rempe that does all of our intros.
Okay.
Okay, the George Takei and all that.
Oh, no.
But I only got it this morning, so I didn't get a chance to load
I
it up yet.
Hear it.
So I'll have it for tomorrow. Okay. You probably don't want to
hear
it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Because he wrote me yesterday, he says, come on the face, he says, oh God, now we have a lot of bumpers to write.
Oh no, we already have that new one with the cock and the juggling balls in the mouth one already. I was thinking this morning, I'm like, I want to do some voiceovers.
Yeah, there you go, you should.
I meant for the station. Okay, go.
All right.
Now I want to hear the other one.
Tomorrow. Okay, two. Three. Four.
No, no, sharing.
That's four.
Six.
that was 22.
It wasn't. She can make a song with Sam if you want. It'll make you feel better.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a little funny. It's a little corny.
Oh, it was supposed to be. I am corny.
Oh, okay.
Hello, did you forget? Wow, you really need today's lesson.
Okay. Oh, geez.
Today's about kindness.
Oh. Now, wait a minute, okay? If I'm one thing, if I'm nothing else, I'm kind, okay? Don't give me this. I can get irritated with things. That doesn't mean I'm not kind. Ask
I know,
everybody
Sam.
That knows me.
It's called
me.
Sarcasm.
Okay.
We'll do tomorrow.
Is that what it
sarcasm?
Is? I don't know. All the sarcastic things you're saying lately. Do you call it silliness in the morning? You call it sarcasm? I don't know. I'm hearing truth in there.
Well, I mean, all humor is based on truth, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So I figured you out.
Wow. We always ruin my moments.
Oh, thank you. You're just awful of showering me with compliments this
love,
morning.
Love, love. No, I love seeing you. I'm always excited to see you in the morning.
Good. Well, I'm glad.
Okay, now,
so
now
go
that's
back
a good
to
segue
your corner.
Into kindness.
Yeah. There you go. This is for you, Sam. It's about kindness.
Well, you were just making fun of how corny my song was.
Oh, okay.
So it was. Okay. Right. Anyway, so my Facebook status update today is about kindness, and I always feel that, you know, there's not enough of that in the world, and kindness does inspire kindness. And this one's really short, not like yesterday's that I listened to. I was like, Jesus, Sherry. I think you'd had everybody turn the radio off.
Thank goodness, looks like a smaller book today.
Again, kindness. See, you don't hear the things you say. Like,
no,
I'm
but
so
this
perfect.
Isn't the name of funny radios. Relax.
That's mine. I'm not upset. Come on now.
Good.
All right. So, it's very small. So, this is from, it's called Open Your Mind, Open Your Life, and it's a book of Eastern wisdom. So a lot of like Zen-like thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what is really important is people always like underestimate like what they do in this world and like a small act of kindness. You know, they always say one small act of kindness can change the world. And everyone's like, oh, I can't do anything. Or what little thing will I do that can, you know, change things. And if everybody thinks that way, nothing will ever get done. So here's a little story. a man found a long stretch of beach upon which hundreds of starfish had been stranded by a great storm. He observed a boy cupping the starfish in his hands, one by one, and gently placing them back into the sea. The man asked the boy, "What does it matter? You're never going to save them all." The boy smiled, "It matters to the ones I save."
Ah,
ooh la la.
Ooh la la, yeah.
There but it I'm is. Just gonna, see, I knew it.
Yeah. Wow.
No, but okay. That's okay. But this is a true story now. People, you never know, like, seriously, like, what the one thing that you do for someone in their day, like, how it affects them. I do restaurant openings, and I've been doing them for the last 2 years and traveling the country. And it's really important for me to spread some love and smiles and stuff and just be nice to everybody, you know? And I was training the staff in Fresno, California, which is, I don't want to call it the armpit of the state because it's about kindness right now. But there's not much to do there. Anyway, so every morning I would greet all the new staff, you know, and the employees. And I know when you start a new job, like, everyone's really nervous and, you know, you just feel kind of weird.
So put them at ease and stuff?
Yeah, I try to, you know, make people feel really welcome and everything. Anyway, so I'm there for about 6 weeks in each city, and my last day there, this guy said, "Sherry, I want to talk to you." And I was like, "Okay." And so he pulled me outside, and he told me the story, and he said, "I just wanted to thank you," he said, "for just being who you are." And he was like, and honestly, just sharing that smile with us every day, he said, because 3 days before I started this job, his best friend had hung himself.
Wow.
Yeah. And he said that he was so devastated, and he actually thought about taking his own life because they were just like brothers. Mm. And you know, he still made himself go up like the first day into work, and he said that the moment that he saw me and saw me smiling at him, there was just something within him that made him want to come back every day and just see me and talk to me and like that, you know. And he said, "So I just wanted to thank you for turning my life around." And he said, and it was just based first on the smile. He was like, and then just like you talking to us and finding out who you were. And
right.
I don't think I'm this incredible human being or anything, but I do think that it is important to pay attention.
Yeah, speak for yourself.
check, please. Can I get out of here?
Okay,
I was just saying that just the small little act of smiling at someone or opening a door for someone or just being kind, you never know how it affects their day. Mm. You know, not honking at somebody or doing whatever. Like, just, you know, just being forgiving of people and compassionate to people and nice to people, Sam. I don't know, it really can affect, you know, somebody, and you just never, ever, ever know what you've done for somebody.
Absolutely.
So kindness inspires
kindness.
The same goes
for negative things, too. I mean, when you do something bad, you don't know how it's going to affect
them.
Right,
exactly.
Well.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, like, make the choice.
Listen to me. I always find the flip side.
See, I was going to say that, but I was like, stop making fun of him. I was listening back to the playback from yesterday, and what was I talking about? Oh, about, you know, I forgot what I was talking about. But as you said, or, you know, death or something, you like brought something, I was talking about something about life and happiness, and you said, or you could die.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, like, and I get hit on a bus on the way out of here. Like, you just take anything that's already up here and you just show me the flip side of it. And I'm like, I got it, Sam. I just
Well, you have to be aware of the duality in life.
Oh,
you know?
Of course.
Everything's got the opposite, right?
Absolutely.
So it's my responsibility
to bring light to it.
Yes,
or
to
actually
burst
bring
people's
dark,
bubbles.
Bring darkness to it. You don't think I know that and see it? I just choose not to focus on it.
No, you're good. You figured it out. You know, I'm still working on it.
Oh, you know what I found out?
Yeah.
Remember I told you about that guy that wrote me and said, do you like younger men? Do you remember that? I was telling you that yesterday.
Yeah,
And I thought he was 29. I found out that he's only 23.
Oh,
so that made me feel a little better about him asking how old I was. Anyway, we talked forever on Facebook last night. We just emailed back and forth. He lives in Canada.
Uh-huh.
And he wants to go out with me.
Really? How's he going to do that?
I said it because I kept talking about how I'm not really into younger men, and I was explaining why. And then after like explanation after explanation, I said, besides, you live in another damn country.
Yeah.
I was like, this is not even what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, and then
you watch him sending you tickets every like 3-4 weeks to go visit him.
No, you know what he opened up to me about, like, his life, and he said he told me some really personal stuff about himself, and he said he's only shared that with like 8 people in his life, most of them his family, and
really?
He said, yeah, I said, I just feel like I want to tell you these things, and I was like, welcome to the rest of the world. Dr. Goldberg.
Come to mama.
Come here and breastfeed, baby.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to call our guest.
Okay.
The book is called Prince Harming Syndrome, Break Bad Relationship Patterns.
I didn't get my exit song.
Oh, are you done? I didn't realize you were done.
You've made me to be done.
We're calling Karen Salmonson. Karen, are you there? Hello?
Knock, Karen. Knock. Anybody home?
Okay, we're probably going to get like voicemail, so we'll try in a couple minutes. So that's pretty cool. I mean, that he like
opened up,
confided in you and stuff.
It made me want to tell more like personal things about myself. I'm like, well, just wait, Sherry. I know.
Just let him listen to the show.
Well, not that kind of personal. Although he was listening to the show when he started emailing me, and he kept like writing things about the things that I was saying. Uh-huh. And of course, one of the first things he says, he's like, you know what my fetish is? I'm just like, oh, of course.
That's that really?
Sure, it's nothing like mine. But it was interesting. And Miha wrote me yesterday because I thanked him for calling in.
Yes.
And you know how he turned me down on air? Completely embarrassed me.
Yeah.
No, actually, I was happy that he like stuck to his guns. But he did write in there. He said that I'm everything a guy would want, and that, you know, I'm a great girl, that I would make a great girl and girlfriend. I thought it was very sweet.
Yeah,
I think he was just trying to make up for making me feel dumb. And then this other guy wrote to me. He was like, I don't understand why you don't have a boyfriend. You're so bubbly. And I'm like, men don't care about bubbly. He's not like my gay girlfriends. I mean, gay friends. Bubbly.
Yeah, you watch. In a couple months, you're going to have guys lined up, you know, taking numbers to be with you.
It doesn't sound good.
Yeah. No, you love it. You'll get to choose.
I think I've already been there.
You'll get to pick.
Yeah. But I spoke to, I wasn't going to talk about this because people already think I'm loony with my sharing with Sherry moments like you. Because I seem spacey, but I really, you know what's funny about me is that as like spiritual and stuff as I am, I'm really quite normal. Mm. I just, you know, have different sides to me.
Right,
and that's kind of my loony side.
Nobody says you're not normal. I mean, come on. You're just overly obsessed with positiveness.
With wow. Normal equals, I mean, abnormal equals overly obsessed. Thanks, Sam. Kindness.
All right. We're trying our author again.
I want more coffee.
Karen Salmonson. The book is Prince Harming Syndrome. Break bad relationship patterns.
Hello.
Yes, Karen. Good morning to you. Finally, we reach you, which is a good thing.
Yes.
Yes. Good morning. We're calling you from L.A. How are you doing this morning?
Okay, great. Is it 12:30? Is it time now?
Yes, it is time now. You are.
Okay, great. Oh, yay.
You are on the air.
I'm on the air.
You are. Hi. Yeah. Welcome to On Air.
I just got out of the New York subway.
Oh.
Out of New York subway.
Yay.
Really? Are you sure?
I mean, well, New York street.
Right.
How are you guys?
We're good. Are you comfortable doing an interview from the street?
Yes, definitely.
Because you can call us back in a quieter place if you want.
No. Yeah, I'm going to walk into Lululemon. There, I just gave them a free plug, and we'll be quiet in there.
You're in New York City, too?
I live in New York, yeah.
Wow, wonderful.
Lucky you.
And we're talking to people from New York all morning this morning. Well, that's good.
That's great.
Yeah, well, we hear it's a nice day there today.
It's a beautiful day in New York, yeah.
Wonderful. Wow. So are you doing all your interviews from the sidewalk?
There we go. Now I'm inside a quiet store.
Oh, wonderful. Okay,
can you hear
great.
Better?
Yes, this is a great adventure, you know, to promote your book from inside a store.
Make sure you tell everyone there what radio station you're on.
Yeah. Well, we're glad to finally gotten a hold of you, Karen, and you wrote the book Prince Harming Syndrome, Break Bad Relationship Patterns for Good. I started reading this. Sherry hasn't had a chance yet, but obviously, first of all, the book is funny, and I think it's a great way to explain people how to actually get into good relationships, and Sherry could use some help in that department.
Thanks, Sam.
So how did this book come about, Karen?
Well, I actually am a recovered Prince Harmingaholic. I used to have an attraction to dating guys that, you know, when I say Prince Harming, that means guys are either trouble or troubled.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're not necessarily bad boys, but they get in their own way of happiness, which means they get in your way of happiness. So guys that don't necessarily make you feel happy and safe and make you feel like you're walking on eggshells in some way in a relationship. That's the definition of a Prince Charming. They come in different forms. And so when I was actually telling a story about this guy that I was dating to another friend of mine, and out of nowhere, the gentleman at the next table interrupts, and he says he's a psychoanalyst, and he admits that he's been eavesdropping on my conversation. And he says, do you mind if I give you my free professional opinion? And my friend says, please do, you know, even before I could say anything. And he said, it sounds like this guy that you're with is a sadistic, narcissistic control freak, you know. And so for a moment, I felt bad because I felt validated. But then the guy, the psychoanalyst, says to me, and you must be a masochist if you're staying with this person. And that really stung. And he said, I suggest you look deeply in your heart and in your soul and figure out why you chose this man and then get out while you still can.
Wow.
So that was an awakening. And then the guy said, you know, actually being a masochist is good because masochists tend to blame themselves. So you'll probably look at yourself and really want to grow.
Right.
And I did. And this book is a definite work of love in every sense of the word love. I want to spread the message on how to find a good partner. I'm incredibly happily in love and engaged to get married to an amazing guy right now because of the principles in this book.
Right.
Awesome.
So you've gone through quite a few of these in your life.
Been there, dated him. Yep. So the book taps into, I mean, I'm a best-selling author. I'm a self-help book author. I have over 1 million books sold.
That's amazing.
Like How to Be Happy, Damn It, and a Bounce Back book, which is it was a book about resiliency psychology. So I'm already a writer, but I decided to write about this area now because it's so important to me, because I see so many women caught up in dating these, you know, very dysfunctional relationships, and I definitely feel, coming from the self-help author space and then coming from the been there, dated him space, that I have a lot of wonderful techniques to help women break their patterns.
Right.
So basically women are finding men that feed into the issues that they already have within themselves, so it just kind of just keeps going back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, we are the common denominator in all of our relationship
Absolutely.
Problems. You know, and so the book is not a man bashing book. It's actually a childhood programming bashing book, a negative belief bashing book. I even say in the book, you've got to be the change you want to date.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to look at yourself and what you need to do differently. I mean, I'm the same girl I was, you know, 2 years ago when all of this happened, but I changed my dating thoughts, I changed my dating habits, and then I changed my dating results. So this book is, and actually it's a different lens on how to approach the men that you want to allow into your life. You know, when I coach girls now, I say, what are you looking for in a guy? And they all say, sexy, rich, successful, charismatic. And actually those are all things that are important, but they come as starting on number 6 on a list of 5 things that come before those things. And in the book I talk about what those 5 things are.
Right.
Which I can talk about now as well.
Yes,
if
absolutely.
You want.
Yeah, of course.
Here.
Like, does he want to be in a committed relationship, for example, right? That's the first one.
That's an important one.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of girls just, you only care about sexy, funny, smart, and the guy doesn't want to, you know, be in a relationship going towards marriage and kids, they're just going to wind up feeling hurt.
Well, most women that don't
want that out up front.
I was going to say most women, including myself, that want to get, you know, think that they want to get into long-term relationships, but for whatever fear they have, end up finding men that don't want to, and it just kind of like, you know, keeps the pattern going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like find
exactly.
men that won't commit, or men that are in another state, or men, you know, just anything that really like keeps the man, you know, at a distance from you.
Right. So you have to find that out pretty much right away. So I have a whole chapter in the book called If You Want Your Prince to Pop the Question, You Have to Pop These Questions Up Front. And there's all different kinds of questions that you can ask to get the conversation going. So you can really find out who somebody is, not by their superficial lures, but by their super inside himself. You know, you can start a conversation, ask the guy, do you think that you could be happy if you remain single for the rest of your life? Do you think married people are happier than single people? Single people are happier than married people? You can engage them in a conversation that starts off philosophical, and then they'll wind up revealing to you what their philosophies are on marriage, and you'll get a sense about how much they really do want to get married and have kids, you know?
That's true.
And also, in the book, I tap into a lot of Aristotle's philosophies on love, and Aristotle says that there's three kinds of relationships, and only one brings true happiness. The first he calls relationships of pleasure, and these are sex, drugs, and rock and roll relationships, where you have the hot sex, you have the flirty banter, but it doesn't go deep. It's about the body and the ego. The next he calls relationships of utility, and this is where you each kind of use each other to garner status, power, fame, glory, beauty, money. It's usually like the rich guy with the trophy girl, or here in New York, it could be the rich girl with the trophy guy. And again, this is about the body and the ego, and it doesn't go deep. It's not real happiness. And then the last is relationships of pleasure. I mean, relationships to share virtue, where you're with the person and they inspire you and challenge you and motivate you to become your best possible self. And Aristotle believes that that's what true happiness is about, is surrounding yourself with people and experiences which help you to grow into your best possible self. So instead of looking for Mr. or Ms. Right, if you look for life plan right, the life that helps you to grow into your best possible self, when somebody comes along and you meet them, you say, is this person going to help me to go towards life plan right, where I grow into my best possible self, or life plan wrong, where I wind up being, you know, walking on eggshells, feeling unsafe, feeling insecure, feeling upset all the time. And if it's life plan wrong, you don't date them.
Right. Did you hear that, Sharon?
I did. Okay. I'm on that same path right now. No, I really am. I want to find someone that, you know, is in the same place that I am.
Yeah.
You know, wanting to grow and
yeah.
all that.
So, and then that's what you need, is to find somebody that really values growing. That's one of my five essentials. You know, you look for somebody that really has same values for a relationship, getting married and having kids, if that's what you want. Somebody who values growing, if that's, you know, if you want to be in a relationship of shared virtue, where you help each other to grow as your best possible self, the guy has to value growing and wanting to put in the work. Which brings me to trait number three, which is the person has to accept that a relationship serves two functions. It's both a den of pleasure and a laboratory for growth. The den of pleasure,
Karen?
Is, yes?
Yeah, I'm sorry, but it's like it's gotten like really noisy on the line. We can't hear anything you're saying.
Oh, sounds windy.
Did you go outside or something?
I know.
Yeah.
I can be inside another place real fast.
she's going store hopping.
Yeah, you can't go shopping and do an interview at the same time.
I wasn't shopping.
I know. We're kidding.
So, yeah. But if you want, I can go into another building. They booked the radio interview last minute for me, and I have to get from my place, from one place to another in time, and
right.
I didn't know it was going to be this noisy.
No, well, okay.
What?
No, I mean, that's fine. I think we got, you were on point number three. Why don't you try to give us the other two real quick, and then you can go back to your walking down New York streets.
And joining me on my trip here. I'm almost to the next destination, but so relationships, the next trait is, does the person make you feel safe? Finding the partner is not about a wish list of sexy, smart, funny, rich, all of those things. It's about a wish feeling, and that feeling is safety. So if the guy is rich, sexy, smart, funny, and all of those things, but he doesn't make you feel safe, it doesn't matter that he's rich, sexy, smart, if you don't feel like you can be your best possible self with this person. So that's, you have to start to prioritize finding somebody that makes you feel safe.
Right. And the final one?
The final one is, if you want to be in a happy relationship, you have to find a happy person. If somebody's unhappy, then when you're unhappy, it's as if you give off this unhappiness smell, right?
Yeah.
And the person doesn't know where that unhappiness is coming from. Like, an unhappy person would be like, I'm unhappy, I'm not sure why. Where's this unhappiness coming from? And if you're next to them, they're going to go, oh, maybe you're the reason why I'm unhappy. They're going to blame you, the partner, on their unhappiness, or they're going to overreact in times of conflict
right.
if they're unhappy. So you really want to find somebody that doesn't have anger management issues, alcohol addiction, drug addiction, somebody who really has some sort of real, you know, self-esteem issues or mood disorders. So so it doesn't get their unhappy peanut butter on your life happiness chocolate.
Yeah, well, I don't know where she's going to find this kind of a man. I mean, that's a high order there. You know, I don't know.
They're out there. They're still out
there.
Not
in L.A., they're not.
I love fixing people up. If you lived in New York, I'd fix you up.
Yeah. I'd move back to New York.
Yeah, at this point, she'll do anything. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay, well, we were talking to Karen Salmonson, and the book is Prince Harming Syndrome. Do you have a website or anything that we can go to?
Yeah, my last name is Salmonson, and everybody mangles it and says Salmonson. I'm always saying, not salmon, not salmon. So my website is not salmon.com, NOTSALMON.com. And if your listeners want to make up for all of the loud background noises, I'll give them something free.
Okay.
I have in the book something that's funny but serious. I have love bingo boards. And one bingo board says warning bells, the other says wedding bells. And they have little squares that have little information on each that you know, what you should look for or not look for, what to avoid, the wedding bells versus the warning bells board. And then you look to see which love bingo board fills up first.
Right.
So if they write to me at Karen@notsalmon.com, I'll send them some free love bingo boards.
Okay. Sounds good. Karen, not Salmon.
I love that.
This. All right. Well, Karen, all the best to you. Thank you. Congratulations with the book. And if you guys look it up on Amazon and stuff, you'll find all of Karen's other books, also funny and helpful. So, Karen, thanks again. And,
thank you. Thank you for your patience with my traveling schedule here today.
No problem. We appreciate you being here.
Yeah, no, we appreciate the tenacity of doing an interview no matter where you are.
Especially in New York City.
All right, Karen. All the best to you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a beautiful day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. She's a fun lady.
I love when people say beautiful.
Yeah?
Have a beautiful day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because it's beautiful.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
It's better than saying, like, have a good day.
Yeah.
Have a beautiful
day.
So,
in other words, she had words for both of us.
She
you better be positive, and you better look for positive.
Yeah, well, I think it all, you know, all five things that she went over is just basically about exuding and being in the place in your life where, you know,
you know,
I think once you put that out there, you're going to get it back, you know?
Yeah, but I think it's more, though, to sort of like find out what the guy's about, you
right?
know? And I think the most important thing about a person is their background,
mm-hmm.
you know, where they come from, because that shapes you, you know?
Right.
So that's what you know, and like she said, you can't come out directly and say it, like, what do you think about commitment?
Mm-hmm.
But you can have, like she said, philosophical conversations,
right.
whatever, and find out what his views
yeah.
are, you know?
I think men very often, I think women don't think men do, but I think men very often tell you mm-hmm. what they do and do not want
right.
and what they're interested in. But us women, we like to analyze a lot
yeah.
and we like to give the benefit of the doubt. And so we're always trying to be like, well, if I act this way or if I do that, then eventually he'll have to change or he will fall in love or he will, instead of taking men at face value and just... Even if they've had things happen to them and you can make that excuse and say, well, this happened to him, so that's probably why he's acting that way.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if eventually he's going to change or whatever. The fact is that right, what he's giving you in that moment, you need to pay attention to.
Yeah.
You know, and I used to be that girl that yeah. was like, I'm going to change him and he's going to realize how great I am and we're going to get married and,
yeah.
you know, and it was
what I know. Why do women
want
to change men? You know, it's like, yeah, you know,
because well, the men want to be changed.
No, they
yes,
don't.
They do a lot of times.
No, this is about the thing is, you see, I have a problem with that because the thing is that if you don't like the man the way he is,
mm-hmm.
go and look for someone who is
right.
you want.
I think we're talking about two different things. I'm not talking about like, oh, you know, he smokes and I don't want him to smoke anymore or I'm going to change the way. I think I'm talking about like the internal type of stuff, you know, the things
right.
that makes him afraid of commitment or whatever, you know, because he had this happen to him
but
as a child.
But that's exactly what I mean.
So he should just always be afraid of commitment?
No. What I'm saying is you got to find a guy who is into commitment and not try to change this guy.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. Women should stop trying to get to that. You know what I mean? Because that's what we do instead of
right.
just taking someone at face value.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you've got to because, look, there's two things that could happen. If he does change for you,
mm-hmm.
he's going to resent you.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is he's... he's the only one who can make himself change.
I agree.
You know, you can't change people.
Yeah, but when, you know what happens? That men, like, in your, you know, your pillow talk and stuff, and they talk about how they want to be this way, and they've always been that way. So you hear these things, just like when a man hears a woman needing something, he wants to fix it.
Right.
A woman wants to do the same thing, like, yeah. you know, on an emotional level. She wants to make it all okay for him and be the nurturer.
Right.
You know? And even
Which
if
is
he's not
cool,
ready.
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, but half the time, men don't want that right then and there. They want it later, and they realize later, but women want them to want it right now.
Yeah.
You know? So I always would, because I obviously wasn't ready for commitment, always find the men that don't want commitment, that don't want this, don't want that. And I'm like, yes, they do. They just don't know it yet. And I'm going to make them realize it. But I've gotten yeah. to the point now where I'm like, okay, you yeah. don't want it. I don't want to be with you either.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm meeting better men.
Really?
Yeah, no, I
Good.
Totally
Good.
Am meeting better men.
Yeah.
Just not
you
men
just
that I like.
You just got to know where you look, yeah. But you definitely need to read the book.
I will. I'm yeah. going to.
I think it's going to be cool.
And she has Deepak Chopra that did a review on her. So
oh,
that
really?
Makes it even more important to me.
Oh, for you, yeah. Absolutely. Deepak. Ooh. Whoop-dee-doo.
I hope he's listening. I'm following him on Twitter, so I'm going to write, Sam said whoop-dee-doo about you.
Yeah. Well, you're a big deal to Sherry. That's all that matters.
Everybody's a big deal to me.
Okay. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
I've been trying to find a situation to straighten out my life, 'cause in every part that I've been playing, something isn't right. Cause if what you do is a good feeling, you're working from your soul, and the love you give to the thing you do can only make it grow. Thank you.
banging music.
Oh, it makes me want to bang my head. Now I know why they call it that. I'm like, stop it, please. Ow.
Well, our next guest is trying to call in, and he seemed to have stopped now.
Oh. He's like, whatever. Yeah. I'm more important than you guys.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Oh, he's back.
Let's take the call. Good morning. You're on the air. Who is this?
Bill, this is Michael Hughes. I was supposed to call in at 10 o'clock this morning.
Yes, Michael. How are you doing? I noticed you started calling earlier, but we had to go to break and stuff. So,
oh, okay.
Thank you for your persistence. Where are you calling us from?
Well, I'm calling from Bloomington right now. I'm working on parts of my rocket here at a friend of mine's shop, mm-hmm. and I'll be everywhere else today doing some other things pertaining to the rocket.
Right. So tell us a little bit about this. You wrote to me and you said you're going to take a rocket and jump over the Colorado River. And I thought that sounded pretty interesting to me. So tell us what made you want to do something like this?
Basically, I was sitting around in a little apartment about 2.5 years ago. And I thought, what can I do that will get me worldwide fame and make me more money? I know what to do with and start with no money. And basically, this is what I came up with.
Uh-huh.
And I have a background, of course, in NASCAR. And, of course, I've got the tell-all book on about NASCAR. Uh-huh. That's on my website. And basically, I've got a Guinness World Record for jumping a limousine. I'm kind of known as the world's most famous limo driver. So I put all this stuff together. I built an X2 Sky Limo rocket, which is very similar to Evel Knievel's rocket from 35 years ago. And to better what Evel Knievel tried, Evel was going to jump 1,500 foot. I'm attempting to jump about 2,600 foot.
Wow.
Wow.
You think you're going to make it?
Sure I do.
Well,
yeah,
first I'm
a lot more qualified than Evel Knievel ever was to do something like this. He had no idea about aerodynamics, the trajectory of the ramp. He knew nothing but how to run his mouth.
I see. Apparently you didn't like it very much.
Well, it's
that's the truth. I mean, honestly, you couldn't make Evel tell the truth if you stuck a hot wire up his butt.
Really?
Everything was BS with that guy. Honestly, that's the way it is. I mean, a lot of people's a hero, too, but, you know, he was a half-assed motorcycle rider, and he just came up with a little niche at the right time in American history.
Right.
And the guy had more balls than sense, really.
Right.
I mean, that's the truth. That's what you learn about me. I'll tell the raw truth.
Right.
I don't care if it's about Obama or if it's about NASCAR. I'm going to tell you the truth how it is. And in my book, you know, I talk about Earnhardt, and people don't like that. And people don't like the idea that, you know, how I explain how people really are in that sport, how that really sport is, you know. So it's just kind of the way it is. But back to the rocket jump, I think it's going to be the biggest media event in the world January 1.
Okay, so that's this coming January, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
how do you go about testing something like this? I mean,
yeah.
Well, basically, of course, there was no budget for this. And there's still no budget for it, but we're going to test a propulsion unit, which is a 77-gallon stainless steel tank identical to what Bob Truax built for Evel Knievel. And if anybody does research on Bob Truax, he was the brightest guy in the Navy at one time. He appeared on Johnny Carson Live, and I've met with him, and the poor guy's like 92 years old and has Alzheimer's now.
Wow.
And it's really sad. The guy is absolutely brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's the same system that Truax built for Knievel. It is super hot water, and once you uncork the plug, basically like a champagne bottle, and go through a rocket nozzle, this thing will produce 4,000 pounds of thrust, which is equal to 8,000 horsepower for 4 seconds.
That's amazing. Wow.
Oh, it's crazy how much power this thing can actually have.
Right. So now, have you practiced this, as Sherry was asking? Have you actually flown that far?
Basically, we're going to test a propulsion unit later this month at the Rialto Airport. I have some friends of mine there that have the track, the go-kart track, and we're going to tie it down to a semi-trailer, and we're going to put what's called a load sensor on it, make sure it produces the thrust and burns for 4 seconds. And other than that, I'm going to stick it back in the rocket, and I'm jumping January 1.
Wow.
And how do you attach yourself to a rocket? Like, do you put a saddle on it?
You know what? If I had it to do all over again, I would have done that. I would have straddled the thing like a motorcycle. But instead, I sit down in the rocket just like Knievel did. Only about 2 inches of my helmet sticks down to the top of it.
Gotcha.
For me to see. But this thing is supposed to shoot up about at a 50-degree angle, 3,000 feet up in the air.
Wow.
And hopefully land by parachute on the nose. And the nose of the rocket is supposed to withstand about 20 or 25 miles per hour direct hit, where I can walk away from it. Any more than that, it's iffy.
Right. So you're going to have a parachute as well?
Yes, I will.
Mm-hmm.
I will make the decision at the 750-foot mark I'll have an altimeter on my wrist. Mm-hmm. And if this thing is going really ugly, like coming down too fast or starts tumbling, then I will attempt to jump out of this thing and parachute down.
Down to the
river. I am planning on going down the ship just like a captain.
Wow. So you have it all figured out and everything. I mean, you
I
thought
out, so.
Yeah.
You know what? And you know, to be truthful with you, no.
No. This might cause a little problem.
And you know, here's the deal, guys. You know, when they did this thing with Knievel, a guy named Doug Malwicki, who was another brilliant man, started the project. They crashed two of them, never climbed across the canyon. They had two colleges figure on computers back then the trajectory. Bob Truax crashed when it never made it across the canyon, and then the parachute malfunctioned. Mm-hmm. So there's been four rockets shot off and about $500,000 worth of crap at the bottom of Snake River.
Yeah. Did he die?
Oh, Knievel?
No, not Knievel, but the other guy, Truax, you said.
No, Truax is still alive, last time I heard.
Oh, okay, so...
Yeah, it's been about a year and a half since I saw him. I went down to San Diego, met him and his son, and Doug Malwicki was there, and it was just a historic thing, and I went back to his house, and we started talking about rockets, and it's just amazing to talk to Bob Truax. I mean, you know, you hear stuff that you never heard about Evel Knievel. I mean,
yeah.
Knievel was... But 30 minutes before the jump, dropped mustard off a hot dog on his driving uniform. So he had changed uniforms. Now, you know what the crazy thing is? I wish I had that thing right now to put on eBay. How much would that thing bring?
Yeah, there you go.
You know? Yeah. That's how crazy things, you know, wind up to be. But, you know, the thing is, man, Knievel still had the, whatever you want to call it, the fortitude to get in this thing.
Right,
you're sitting
right
in front of a bomb.
Mm-hmm.
This thing's got 420 pounds of pressure, and a tank that's probably only made for 400, and it's just super hot water. So if this thing bursts, it will burn you down to the bone.
Wow.
Bottom line. You
yeah.
know? So it's a very, very dangerous thing to do. Now, if everything goes right, it's going to look simple. Just
yes.
like when I do a limousine jump.
Yeah.
You know, if everything goes right, it's going to look like anybody can do. But one thing goes wrong, and man, it gets ugly real quickly.
Yeah. So now let me ask you this. I mean, obviously, you're doing it for fame and money. I can see the fame, but where does the money come in? How would you earn money from doing this?
Pay-per-view.
Ah,
now see, that's been another ordeal about this whole thing is I thought from the get-go the networks would be lining on my doorstep with a check
yeah.
bidding on this thing. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you top this event? You can't.
Right.
I mean, you know, after you've seen Dancing with the Stars a couple of times or Survivor or Lost or this thing with Jesse James, that crap he's got on TV now,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
It's enough. You know, this is the real thing.
Yeah.
There's no pyrotechnics. There's not 20 guys in back of me in production, you know, trying to make me look like something I'm not.
Right.
You know, this is the real deal.
Right. And besides, once they see you once, I'm sure there's going to be all kinds of offers coming later, and you'll probably earn
well,
some money that
that's
way.
What I'm hoping. You know, we've got a couple of things we're working on, another jump, but I've got a friend of mine has a land speed car that's capable of doing 1,000 miles an hour. Man, I'd like to hop in that thing, try
yeah.
to set the record this winter.
I mean, I want to be famous, but I don't know if I'd risk my life for it.
Well, you know, here's what I tell people. If you're not doing what you want to with your life, you're dead anyway.
I agree with that.
You know, you really are, and there's a bunch of people that's walking around like zombies down here. And there needs, you know, here's the thing, guys. America needs something real and need a real hero. And it's not some damn overrated actor. It's not some overpaid NBA or NFL star. It's certainly not some politician.
Right. Well,
you know,
so screws love and kindness. Let's jump rivers with rockets. That's my real American
well,
hero.
You know, the problem is, during all this, I've taken crap from the Knievel family. Rob Knievel said I'm not worth the ink to print a story.
Uh-huh.
What else is going on?
You don't like him very
I've been
much.
Called the astronaut farmer. They call my rocket a redneck rocket. No, there's less than $20,000 in this thing.
Yeah. Wow.
You should write that on the side of the rocket. That'd
yeah.
be funny.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, but anyway, just hey, you know, I want to, a couple of things I want to bring up is, you know, I have a website for this.
Yes.
It's madmikehughes.com. It tells all about the jump. It shows the rocket. It shows my Guinness World Record, where I've been on Jimmy Kimmel Live. And, of course, it talks about my NASCAR book. Of course, this is NASCAR week in town, and if you know the real story about NASCAR and how I've changed the sport, I mean, literally, I have changed the sport and not made one dime from it.
In what way? Through your book?
Well, no. I am the first gentleman that vinyl-wrapped a NASCAR star car.
Mm. Wow.
Okay, I saw this process in 1989 at 2 o'clock in the morning, but the technology wasn't there, the vinyl wasn't there,
right.
Nothing was there.
Oh.
And I finally made this thing happen in 97, the first time we wrapped a car.
Right.
And before Darrell Walsh did the chrome car for Daytona. In fact, I'm the one that suggested the idea to him and Waddell Wilson. But I'm the first guy that built a carbon fiber air box, which is the same one everyone uses now. I built it in 92. And how they mount the motors, how they do the rake on the back of the bodies. Yeah, that's all my ideas.
Right. So, I mean, you should be rich by now. So what happened along the way?
You know what? Here's the deal. Pretty soon, you get to a point where it's like me. I can't even go get a job. You know, I'm a limo driver, but that's what I do for a living. But, you know, I go out and try to get another job with a race team. I show them all the stuff I've done in my book, and they go, we don't need anybody.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you get to a point where you're overqualified for basically anything. And that's kind of where I'm at in the thing. And I just, you know, I'm 53 years old, man, and I'm afraid of being 60 years old and pushing a shopping cart. And that's why I'm doing this.
Well, I think you chose the right thing, because I don't think there's many people out there that are in competition with you to jump over the Colorado River.
Well, no. You know, the thing is, you have a lot of people talk, like Robert Knievel says, you know, he wants to do, you know what, he's talked about it for 15 years. But the thing is, he don't want to do this.
Right.
He's less qualified than his dad was to do it.
Yeah.
Honestly, even less qualified. I think he's got less knowledge about any aerodynamics or anything.
Yeah. Well, you're going to show everybody, I'm sure. You know, come January 1st, you'll show them who they're dealing with here.
Well, you know what? I'm just one guy with a dream, and just luckily I've got the background to help make this thing happen. And I'm a bulldog. I don't stop. You know, and I really don't care too much what people think or say or whatever. I kind of, you know what, guys? Dr. Seuss, you know who Dr. Seuss is and wrote all the children's books?
Uh-huh.
He came up with a paraphrase, which how I live my life. That is, be who you are, say what you feel, because those who mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind.
I see. Okay. Sherry's familiar
with that one. It's one of my favorite quotes.
Oh, yeah. And it's in my book. It's in the very front of my book.
Wonderful.
You know?
Now,
and the very end of it is my quote. You know, life is full of compromises without compromising yourself.
Right. Now, so talk about your book. What is the whole thing with NASCAR there? What was the book about?
The book is about basically an autobiographical account of my life in the big-time world of stock car racing. And it tells about my first job in 86 at a NASCAR shop, how I got the job, who it was with, and basically my progression through the sport, which I wound up becoming a crew chief in 1995 on the truck circuit. I was one of the original Craftsman truck guys. Mm-hmm. I did all the exhibition races with the team, and of course I started crew chiefing for a gentleman named Mike Herbert out of Washington, the first of 95, and basically went through half the year and just basically with no money. I mean, no money. We wound up with a Sears Point Raceway with $100 between us and no tires, and I just had it.
Yeah.
And I've had my own Winston West team. I've made a couple of races, and I got cars in museums back there. I did the crash car for the Days of Thunder movie. I built that in January 1990. Yeah, 1990.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So you like to live on the edge, obviously.
You know what?
You need the excitement.
Yeah. The excitement and just doing things different and whatever. I mean,
right.
You must be difficult to date, because how can you keep up with you? Be like, let's go for a walk, and you're like, boring.
Well, you know what? You know, but I'm still a simple guy. You know what I mean? I don't text anybody.
Uh-huh.
You know, I have I'm just a real simple guy. You know, I got a kitty cat. I don't even have a girlfriend. I don't even have time for it.
Yeah.
You know, I got this has captured my life right now,
right.
And it's kind of at a standstill until I do this jump.
Right. And how long is the preparation taken? How long have you been planning to do this?
Actually, I started building the rocket a year ago, January.
Mm-hmm.
And it is basically just about done. It's been a couple of shows. We're planning a lot of events the next couple of months. In fact, this weekend, I'm going to drive it on my trailer, back of my car, up and down in front of the Speedway in Fontana.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to take it to Hollywood in a couple of weeks and drive down Sunset Boulevard and L.A. And the whole month of December, I'll be on a tour.
Wow, that'll be cool. Well, you definitely know how to live, man, let me tell you.
And hopefully not die.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, it's been quite an adventure. Of course, I'm planning to write another book about this after this deal is over with.
Right, right.
But, you know, everybody, you know, stay in touch. It's madmikehughes.com, and we're looking at internet pay-per-view. It's where this thing's going to be seen at, and we're negotiating with some production companies right now. Matt.
Right. So you'll announce that on your website. As soon as you know.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Very good, Mike. A very fascinating story. You're a very interesting man, and
we wish
you the best. Yes.
Yeah.
Good luck. You know, I mean, it's like almost a 50-50 chance that we'll talk to you again. I don't know, after January.
Yeah, you know, it's a coin toss, but you know, so is driving on the freeways out here.
Yeah.
Yeah, except I don't jump in front of cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you.
But good luck with that.
Yes.
Guys, I appreciate your time. You know, a lot of people are really afraid of letting me talk about my NASCAR book. I mean, seriously, they, writers across the country have refused to write about this thing.
Right. What's the book called again?
It's called What Does a Limo Driver Know About NASCAR?
Okay, cool. And can we find information on that on your website as well?
Yeah, of course, it's at Amazon.com, but it's cheaper to get it through my website.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay, well, Michael, thank you so much. And hopefully, we'll talk to you again, like later in January, when you're really famous and starting to be rich.
Yeah, let's hope so, guys. You know, yeah. I got a lot more destruction planned after this.
Yeah, sounds good, man. Okay, well, you're definitely a friend of the station, and you can call anytime.
Oh, great. Thank you. You guys have been very nice to me. It's always a pleasure to speak with people in the media.
Absolutely. Awesome. Take care.
Bye.
Okay, guys. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, indeed.
I know. You're like, what are you doing? I'm just sitting around building a rocket.
I know. How do you top that?
I can't. I'm like, I'm sitting in a radio station. Just talking. him and Evel Knievel aren't friends, I guess.
No, I guess he doesn't like him
Sounds like
much.
There's quite a bit of bad blood going on there.
Yeah.
Oh.
I guess, you know, it's like in boxing, you know,
yeah.
How they like pretend
like,
to hate each other.
He's like shit talking him. I'm like, wow, so tell me how you really feel about them.
Yeah.
But really, like, how do you test these things, you know? I mean, yeah. Is the first test the actual jump?
Apparently he hasn't, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I would think, yeah, you want to do an actual jump, maybe not over the river,
yeah.
But somewhere, you know, where you're going to land in water or something.
I don't know.
But not very high.
I just picture him on a saddle. That's all I kept picturing. And I was like, it must be a little hot.
I know, like those clowns that they shoot with.
Yes.
With the cannons, uh-huh. You know?
Yeah, like that kind of. But that just shows how naive I am.
Yeah. I know. And then you interject with your romance.
Oh, I came up with a new word yesterday
yeah.
About that. So I was texting with my friend and I was talking about, you know, again, the two sides of me, you know, the romantic girl and, you know, the whory girl.
Right.
And I called it whoremance.
Whoremance.
Yeah, that's what I like.
Yeah.
I'm a whoremantic girl.
Yeah.
Because we were saying something and I said, wow, you went from really being romantic to being whore. And I was like, like whoremance.
Yeah.
He was like, that's a good word. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Coin it. But yeah, well, no. But I wasn't talking about being romantic. Oh, the walks, you mean?
No.
You mean with the guy?
Yeah, no, with the, like... But, can he have a relationship or something?
Well, because you said he lives on the edge, and I'm like, yeah, he must be really hard, difficult to hang out with. Like, I mean, if he's like jumping rivers on rockets, like, how do you just have a normal
true,
day
yeah.
with him?
You know I know. I mean? How do you top that, right?
Right. As I'm saying, like, and as a girl or as anyone, you're just like, you know, let's go to a movie or let's go walk. And he's like, no. And I'm like, what does he write, like, on his, like, you know, dating site?
Yeah.
Interest rockets. I don't know. It's difficult.
So, you know what I was reading this morning? It's pretty funny. I guess in, let me just bring this up. Okay, in Saudi Arabia, I don't know if you got a chance to read this on my Facebook, but I guess this man went on TV, right?
Uh-huh.
And he started bragging about his sex life.
A Saudi man did?
Yes.
Okay.
And apparently... This is not looked upon very nicely in Saudi Arabia, right?
Is anything?
So he gets 5 years in jail and 1,000 lashes.
For talking about what now?
About his sex life and his conquest and everything.
Really?
Yeah, he picked the wrong country
to do that. Come to America. You can talk about that as much as you want. Do they really give lashings?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
1,000 lashes.
That's
I mean, my God,
what?
You'd be fucking dead after 10.
No, that's more than Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And I learned that from Passion of Christ.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what you learned.
And then the last lashing I got. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Wow, I didn't
but
know.
But many countries
like...
in the world use lashes. You know, I mean, even in Asia, I think
yeah.
Southeast Asia.
I mean, did he not know that like talking about this would bring about this, or maybe just didn't care?
Yeah, maybe he didn't care. I
or
mean,
maybe
who
he's
knows?
Into S&M.
He's pretty stupid.
Maybe it was a fantasy.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's quite. It's quite a punishment for talking about sex.
Yeah. Well,
you
he
and
had
I
it
would,
coming. He had it coming, man. You know? It's like I wrote on Facebook. I said, keep your pants zipped and your mouth shut.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, if you want to stay alive, for crying out loud.
Jesus.
But it's like those weird laws all over the world, you know?
Yeah. I mean, do they have nobody... Doesn't Well, I guess not.
I mean, you're not supposed to even be in the same room with a woman that's not related to you.
What?
Yeah.
In those countries?
Yeah, in like Saudi Arabia.
How are you supposed to meet anybody else?
You're not. It's all prearranged.
Wow, so you just like stay with like your wife and then your children and, you know, things
yeah,
like that?
I suppose, yeah.
Remind me not to go there.
I will.
That's pretty interesting.
She's so, like, yeah, one less places to go in the world.
Yeah, well, it wasn't on the top of my list anyway.
Yeah.
Now it's definitely not even close on the top 10.
Yeah. I wonder if you bring those women that grow up there, you know, in their burqas and everything, when you bring them here, I wonder if they turn into these tigresses, you know? It's like, fuck me, fuck me.
I wonder if they have, like, porn like that. Like women in burqas. I don't know.
I'm sure they do, you know? I mean, they do everything.
That is true. They do porn. Have, like, every kind of fetish kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, like Nayland Palin. Have you heard of that one?
No, but I can only imagine what that is. What, there's a whole genre of that?
Yeah. Well, there's one movie like that.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen
it. Oh, you just heard,
but I've
you
heard,
just heard about
it
from your friend?
Well, no, we have like adult industry shows on the station.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so these guys talk about it and stuff.
Oh, okay. Nail and Palin.
Nail and Palin.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Have you heard about this? It has nothing to do with Nail and Palin, but it's politics, and it's about the small amount of stuff that I know. And I'm going to try to sound intellectual for
yeah,
one second.
Yeah, Nail and Palin makes you think politics.
What else? Yeah. About Obama and the whole Dalai Lama thing. Did you hear about that?
No.
Oh.
What happened there?
Great. All the pressure's on me to sound smart now. Damn it. I'm going to ask you these things
Well, you brought it up.
Well, I think that you hopefully know something, so then the parts that I can't fill in, you can help out with.
Now, when did this happen?
A couple of days ago.
A couple of days ago.
Yeah, he was supposed
to
meet.
I'm surprised I haven't heard about it.
Me too.
Yeah.
But you're busy looking at Nail and Palin. He was supposed to meet with the Dalai Lama, and because Dalai Lama's in Washington, and I guess the last few presidents have,
I see.
He actually canceled the meeting, and so now like everybody's all up in arms, well, mainly the Republicans and conservatives, and saying, oh, he's such a great president, and he wants peace and all this stuff, and he's not even meeting with the, you know, the most peaceful peacemaker in the world, the Dalai Lama.
Yeah, come on, I mean that guy's not very significant, you know.
Who?
The Dalai Lama. I mean, you know, he's got no
My
political
jaw's
power.
On the floor.
He's got no political power at all. I mean, what can he do?
Well, it's
he
not
can't
about the
affect
politics.
Anything.
Well, no, it's not. What?
I mean,
did you not
it
hear
is
my
about
speech
the politics.
Earlier about one person making a change? Okay, first you say, ooh, what did you say? Ooh,
yeah, but I mean,
about Deepak, what did you say? La-di-da. Now you're saying the Dalai Lama's nobody. If you're listening, please shut this down. Jesus. Let me guess, Jesus had no influence either.
No, I mean, but what does Obama have to say to the Dalai Lama?
Well, no, it's about the whole meeting in general and just like, you know, talking and, you know, figuring out ideas and ways to... Okay, I don't know anything about politics.
To do what?
To spread peace. And, you know. Okay, that wasn't the point of it.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
you know
why did the other presidents meet with the Dalai Lama?
I don't know.
No, Dalai Lama is supposedly, because the whole...
He's a spiritual leader, right?
Right,
and
of course.
Some politicians do meet with them.
Well, yeah, but yeah. Because there's a whole... The problem is with China, what's going on with China,
right,
which is
and
what...
Tibet, right.
Correct.
Right.
And, the other country.
The other country.
No,
like
within
Taiwan.
China. No. There's all these issues going on, and that's the reason why Obama did not meet with the Dalai Lama, because he didn't want to offend the Chinese, because he's meeting
right.
with the Chinese.
Okay. Now, that makes sense.
Okay, yeah, so that's why he's not meeting with him.
Right.
But... all he's doing is postponing it, but I'm just saying all the Republicans and everybody's going crazy over it because they want to just find a reason to hate Obama instead of realizing maybe Obama, like, he needs to play all sides so he can get everything that he wants and eventually meet with the Dalai Lama.
Right.
You know.
But I don't know. You know, you're the president of the United States, and you have a decision.
Right.
China on the one hand, the Dalai Lama on the other hand. It's like, gee, you know, that's a tough decision.
But the Dalai Lama has plenty of followers too. I mean, the whole world looks up to the Dalai Lama.
But you know what? China is like,
screw
we need
China.
The money. We need everything.
Except for our Chinese listeners. I'm just saying that he can do it all, and I'm saying people need to stop bashing, you know, Obama for not meeting with the Dalai Lama. All he's doing is just saying, not right now, that it's not a beneficial time, which I understand. Like, he's still in politics. He still has to, you know, meet with the Chinese and, you know, figure out things, whatever those things are, because I don't know them.
Right. Okay. Well, we've got a phone call. Let's see. Good morning. You're on the air. Who is this?
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
I'm sorry, I have the wrong number.
Well, were you calling the radio station?
No, sir, I wasn't.
Okay. Well, we'll let you go.
Unless you want to talk. And single.
Yeah. I would have talked to him, but he didn't seem like he wanted
at
to
all.
Talk.
He seemed a little confused.
Yeah. He's like, you mean I'm on the air?
That'd be so fun. We should crank call people.
Yeah, we will. We will. We will. I have it in the plan.
Okay, awesome. You went from like being a really intellectual show, then I'm here, and you're just like, we're going to start crank call. Because Sherry can't talk about politics or anything deep except her vagina.
Oh, man.
Oh, goodness.
I need a break, man. I'm breaking up
from
a sweat
me?
Here.
From me?
No, it's getting too hot in the room.
There's no hair. We,
you get a little too much information. Sorry.
Go to break.
We'll be back right after this.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone. Commercial-free original talk. Only on LA Talk Radio. Your favorite talk station.
I'm in that mood. This is Ted Kennedy speaking from the grave, of course. You know, one thing that I do love about my friendly Jew, Sam Hassett, is the fact that he has had more co-host tail than I have ever had wives in my life. I mean, what is it? He's got like 58 co-hosts already. Sherry, don't take this the wrong way, but your 15 minutes is ticking, darling. Anyway, back to my most favorite morning show ever, when I was live, that is. Sam and Shari in the morning on LA Talk Radio.
It's Sam and Shari in the morning on LA Talk Radio.
I don't know what's this, all this hard rock that Greg put in this.
I don't know, but that was pretty awesome. I feel like I have to talk fast. I have like 8 minutes left of my fame. Makes me feel so special. I'm number 59.
Yeah. This man, I mean, his mind, you know, hilarious. To be in his mind for a few minutes, man. This is, of course, Greg Rempe. He's got the Barbecue Central show on Tuesdays, and he does all the voices for us and everything.
Oh, so. That's great. Yeah. I really like that.
I know, I like it too.
It's almost fucking stop it though. Stop putting shit like that on the universe. Okay. My time is not over. Not until Sam's officially fetching my coffee. Which I realize I can get my own coffee in the morning, but this halfway point, I'm like, I really need someone to run me a Starbucks run.
Really? Are you drained already?
I'm not drained. I just want to be bumped up more and more and more. I know it's sad because I didn't start drinking coffee till 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Really?
For the first time, yeah. And really? Like now I'm making up for lost time.
Oh,
like,
I was raised on coffee.
I always just thought it was gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now I'm up to 4 shots, but I told myself I will never go to 5 shots. Like that's just over the limit.
That's a lot of shots anyway. 4 shots.
That's why I walk in. I'm like, hi. That's why I want to hug everybody in trees. I don't know what to do with all this extra energy. I heard something interesting on the radio. It kind of made me laugh as I was driving here this morning. So you know the whole Chris Brown Rihanna thing?
He hit her.
Yeah. Well, and Omarion, have you heard of Omarion?
No.
He's a rapper singer, and he's, I guess, one of his friends. Anyway, they were interviewing him because he has a new album coming out, and I'm amazed with some of the things that go on the radio sometimes. So he was talking to Omarion about Chris Brown, and I'm not going to mention the station or the DJ, but said to him, you know, so what do you think about it? You know, are you guys friends? And he was like, yeah, we're good buddies, man. He was like, you know, love can make you do some fucking crazy things. Well, he didn't say fucking, but he's like, love can make you do some crazy things. Already that in itself, I'm like, really? It makes you hit people? Okay. But love can make you do some crazy things. I'm sure it's something like, you know, he like never foresaw. And I think, foresaw, huh? And then, then the DJ goes, well, Chris, man, it was really good talking to you. He's like, you're real intellectual.
Yeah, really intellectual.
Yeah, and he wasn't even joking. He was like, you're a great guy, great smile, you smile, and you're real intellectual. I'm like, did he just hear him say foresaw? I don't know if it was anything I foresaw. You're real intellectual. I'm like, okay, you both are dumbasses.
Yeah, there you go.
I was amused. I'm like,
I can't believe these people, man.
It made my morning. Although that was judging other people. Wow, that really made my morning. I'm smarter than I thought. Bad grammar and spelling gets to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But those rappers, I don't get it, you know? I mean, there's some cool rap songs, you know, and stuff. You know what? You just reminded me of a, you know, talking about rap and stuff. You know what? We'll change the mood a little bit here.
Okay. No, you already played Natalie Portman.
No, I'm not playing Natalie Portman.
I just wanted to remind you.
Yeah, this one is a powerful song, and you just have to listen to it. You may have heard it. I don't know. Some people haven't. But we'll just play the whole thing. It's like a 4-minute song.
Okay.
But you got to hear
this. So
I'll just go pee. I'm just kidding.
All those racist colors and creeds, every man bleeds for the countless victims and all their families of the murdered, tortured, enslaved, raped, robbed, and persecuted. Never again to the men, women, and children who died in their struggle to live, never to be forgotten. Proven Ben Menachem, yeah, my own blood. Dragged through the mud, perished in my heart, still cherished and loved.
stripped of our pride, everything we live for, families cried. There's nowhere to run to, nowhere to hide. Tossed to the side, access denied. 6 million died for what? Yo, a man shot dead in his back. Helpless women and children under constant attack. For no reason till the next season, and we still bleeding. Yo, it's freezing, and men burning hell, some for squeezing. No hope for a remedy, nothing to believe. Moving targets who walk with the star in their sleeve. Forever marked with a number, tattooed to your body. Late night, eyes closed, clutched to my shiny. Having visions, flashes of death camps and prisons. No provisions, deceived by the devil's decisions. Forced into a slave, death before dishonor. For those men who were brave, shot and sent to their grave. Can't awaken, it's too late, everything's been taken. I'm shaking, family, history, the making. Never again shall we march like sheep to the slaughter. Never again shall we sit and take orders. Stripped of our culture, robbed of our name. Never again, of our freedom and thrown into the flames. Forced from our families, taken from our homes. Pulled from our God, then burned of our bones. Never again shall we march like sheep to the slaughter. Never again leave our sons and daughters. Stripped of our culture, robbed of our name. Never again, of our freedom and thrown into the flames. Never again, from our families, taken from our homes. Pulled from our God and everything we own. Never again, some fled through the rumors of wars, but most left for dead. Few escaped to the shores with just one loaf of bread. Banished, called in for questioning and vanished, never to be seen again. I can't express the pain that was felt in the train to Auschwitz. Tears poured down like rain. Naked, face to face with the master race. Hatred, blood of David. My heart belongs to God and stays sacred. Rabbis and priests, disabled individuals, the poor, the scholars, all labeled common criminals. Mass extermination, total annihilation. Shipped into the ghetto and prepared for liquidation. Tortured and starved, innocent experiments. Stripped down and carved up or gassed to death. The last hour, I smell the flowers. Flashbacks of family then sent to the showers. Powerless, undressed, women with babies clung tight to their chest, crying, who were the guests dying? Another life lost, count the cost. Another body gas burned and tossed in the Holocaust. Never again shall we march like sheep to the slaughter. Never again leave our sons and daughters. Stripped of our culture, robbed of our names. Raped of our freedom and thrown into the flames. Never again from our families, taken from our homes. Never again from our God and everything we own. Never again shall we march like sheep to the slaughter. Never again shall we sit and take orders. Stripped of our culture, robbed of our names. Never again of our freedom and thrown into the flames. Never again from our families, taken from our homes. Never again from our God and burned of our bones. Never again, never again. Never again. Never again. The final solution is now retribution. Remedy, Wu-Tang.
I'm only laughing because
I know so bipolar.
Let me just say this. Leave it up to Sam. If you were feeling good and having a good time this morning listening to our show, to then completely take it to where you want to go and slit your wrist.
Well,
okay.
Well, you know what? You brought up rap music. And it brought.
So he thought
it made me think of this. No, because you know, generally I don't like rap because you know it's like full of hatred and stuff like that, you know. And then you hear this and you go, wow, you know. I mean, it like that puts you in a mood, you know.
To kill yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, no. I mean, that was a really, I mean, I don't know if you say good song, but I mean, it was a really powerful song,
it's
you know.
Very
and rap.
Powerful.
But I don't think you've heard a lot of rap because there's definitely some good things out there. You
no,
know,
I know. I know. And that's why I brought this up. I mean, there are some that are pretty good, you know. But I don't know. A lot of shit that I hear is just full of, you know.
I fuck bitches and hoes and you know, yeah. I got my 40s and
yeah. Something like that.
Not exactly the way I just rapped it.
No, not at all.
You want to hear my beatbox? Record contract, anybody? I don't know. I was like all smiling, giggly, and I'm listening to that. And I'm just like,
well, it's a manic depressive kind of show. We jump from one to another.
I told you, you can take any positive situation and just take a spin on it. Just turn it right on around. Hey, you feeling good? Let me introduce you to Sam. He'll turn that right around.
Well, you know what? How about I give you something else instead? I'll give you something funny.
Somewhere Over the Rainbow?
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you?
No, I think that song's annoying.
Everybody seems to sing that song, you know, you go on karaoke and
yeah,
stuff.
Well, that's only the ones who want to be like musical theater stars.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. It's the only song they can sing.
Do you hit karaoke?
I love karaoke.
Do you ever go out?
Yeah. Yeah, not as much lately, you know, with the station and everything, but I used to.
I just didn't know if married life, like, allows you to go out.
No, it doesn't.
Definitely not getting married. I mean,
if we go to dinner once or twice, I mean, once a week or something, we're happy, you know?
Wow. Yeah. Is it because of the kids or because...
No, there's no kids. My kids are grown.
They're not grown.
Well, they're teenagers.
But they... Well,
I mean, my daughter's 19. That's not grown.
Okay,
And they don't even live with me.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I'm in my second marriage.
No, I knew that. I just didn't put.
Yeah, didn't put two and three together.
I did, and it equaled four.
but no, I mean, married life will do that to you.
Yeah, but you haven't even been married that long.
5 years.
Like five.
That's
long
a long
years.
Time. No, I mean, seriously, I'm really happily married. It's just that, you know, you don't find enough time to do things, you know, and.
But you find enough time to do your own things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
Hello. You're in a partnership. It's not only your thing.
Yeah, I sometimes forget.
It's not only your thing. She wants to do things too. Yeah. You should take her out sometime.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess
Surprise
I should.
Surprise her.
Sometimes, yeah. We actually went to a comedy club about a month ago.
Was it for the show, though?
No, it wasn't for the show.
Oh, okay.
We were
good.
Invited, so it was cool.
You just got all like bitter. No, it wasn't for the show.
No. No, and actually we went to a party.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's right. That was when I started, and you
Jeff's
said that
party.
You were having a horrible time. And then you said it was because your wife was there.
You don't have to bring it up, you know.
Oh, I do. These things stick in my head. So when you talk about how kind you are, I can throw them back in your face.
Thank you very much. A lot of kindness in here today.
He's like, okay, you have 7 minutes left of your fame now. You're on your way out, Sherry.
Yeah. I know. How many co-hosts did you say I had?
58.
58?
Yeah.
Is that how many? Where the hell did he get that number?
I don't know. I'm just another one of the harem. Little does he realize you're my support staff.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, man, I don't believe you wrote that. Or you said that, actually.
I can't believe you didn't hear it. Yeah. I was like, why isn't he fighting back?
But actually, I know why, because I didn't listen to the replay yesterday.
He's like, because I don't listen to you.
Yeah. No, because I have to listen to the replays to write the show summary
right.
and stuff. So, yeah, I didn't get a chance last night. So maybe
yeah, no, I thought it was blank.
God, you know everything I do, don't you?
Well, I do, because I wait, because I have to hear them, too. I listen to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you have to go learn things each day.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's something, you know, it's not just like, some people think, oh, you just come on air and talk, which you do, you know, right. But I want to make it a good show, so I got to, like, listen and figure out, you know, certain things and what I shouldn't do, which is like cut people off a lot. Let the guest be the guest and not the Sherry show. I'm still trying to learn that one.
Yeah, I have to remind you. Huh? We'll do like a bumper reminding you who you are.
She said, hold up a sign and go, shut up. Not now.
All right, so now that we're back in a good mood, let me play you this song.
To bring us back down?
No, bring us back up.
Now. Okay.
And, if you haven't heard it, I want you to guess who that is, okay?
Oh, I'm really bad
and,
at this.
No, you're not. Well, maybe in this one. I don't know.
Okay.
But it's something I like a lot.
Here we go.
Oh, this always makes you happy.
Yeah.
Especially if it's who I think it is. Yeah. It always makes everyone have like a pina colada.
Yeah. It's not what you think it is.
Piece of shit car. I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My car's a big piece of shit, cause the shocks are fucking shot. Well, my seatbelt's fucking broken, I got to tie it in a knot. I can't see through the windshield, cause it's got a big fucking crack. And the interior smells real bad, cause my friend puked in the back.
It's a piece of shit.
Piece of shit car.
Piece of shit car.
You got a piece of shit car.
It sucks royal dick.
Of course, that makes you laugh the most.
Oh, fuck you, car. It's got no CD player. It only got the 8-track. Whoever designed my car can lick my sweaty nutsack. And I got no fucking brakes. I'm always way out of control. 11 times a day, I hear, hey, watch it, asshole.
You fucking piece of shit. Piece of shit car.
I got a piece of shit.
You got a piece of shit car.
Diesel gas sucks my ass.
You fucking piece of shit.
That pile of bits of shit. Oh, what the fuck did I do? What the fuck did I do? What the fuck did I do? To get stuck with you, you're too hot for drive through, and you smell like tissue, but I'm too broke to buy something new. Oh, fuck me.
Can you guess who this is?
Is it Adam Sandler?
How the hell did you know?
I love Adam Sandler.
Really?
I do. He's like, every time I see a movie of his, like, I love him.
How did you guess? Wow.
He's really good at certain words that he says, because I watch all his movies. I can tell his voice.
Oh, really?
The car always fucking stalls. Yeah, Nasi cushion's got a big rip, so a spring always pokes the balls.
Ouch, ouch, ouch.
Rusty door locks are busted.
Ouch, ouch.
I got to use a fucking coat hanger.
What a pain in his ass.
And if a girlie sees my car, there's no chance I'll ever bang her.
He never ever gets a pussy.
Hey, shut up.
Pizza shit car.
Pizza shit car.
Pizza shit.
You piece of shit car.
Piece of shit car.
Both fucking tires. No rear view fucking mirror. Seven different colors. Fucking lag for a gas cap. Tailpipe making sparks fly everywhere.
Piece of shit car.
Okay, you get the idea.
I was just sitting here thinking about what a dream job this is. I hope everybody in the world like has a good time when they go to work.
I know. I mean, can you imagine? You know, without this, you never have such a good time in the morning. You
no.
Know? Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping.
You go into the office and turn on your computer.
I can never do that and like look yeah. at tables and things and write bills and.
Yeah, 9 to 5s, huh?
Ugh.
I know. I don't know how people do it. I used to do it for many years.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I told you I did it for a couple of months. And I'm just like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. I mean, even restaurant business is. That's even exciting, you know, as much as, you know, you
yeah,
can hate it some
true.
Days. But this song reminded me, this is a really bad story. It reminded me, okay, so everyone's really afraid of in the restaurants that your waiter's going to spit in your food.
Yeah.
And for the most part, it doesn't happen.
Right.
But there are those individuals who will do some mean things, you know, not everywhere you go, but,
yeah.
you know, it's... Anyway, yeah, Adam
how
Sandler.
How gross. You see, now you know
gonna,
why I don't
I'm
go
gonna
out.
I'm going to scare you now.
Yeah?
I'm going to scare you with what this guy used to do.
Yeah.
The song just reminded me, it said, like, sweaty... ball sack or
yeah.
whatever, and I started thinking of a sweaty butt crack. I used to work in this restaurant in New York, this barbecue, and it was kind of... Anyway, we just had, like, really bad clientele, and he used to... We served cornbread, and when he would have, like, a really mean customer or someone that just, like, pissed him off, he would take the cornbread, and he would wipe it on the crack of his ass
oh,
with all
no.
the sweat, because there used to be butter on top of the
oh,
cornbread.
Oh, my God.
And he would, like, serve it to the guests.
Really?
Yeah.
He'd take down his pants and rub
oh,
it on his
Oh, he would just
ass?
In the side station, like, and
yeah.
I saw it, and he would just take the cornbread, just pull his jeans down a little, and just stick
yeah.
the cornbread down there and wipe it.
Wow.
He also used to, there was, well, not, this wasn't, a, this was a one-time shot.
And you saw this and you didn't
yes,
say anything?
Yes, oh, of course I did.
You did.
Yeah, but not, I mean, not to the managers.
Yeah.
To him.
The two, oh, yeah.
He was kind of my friend. And I talked to him about it, but there was this another time he came back with this really bad sunburn. But you have to understand, our customers treated us like shit. Like, there was one time they're like, I'm going to run this white bitch around.
Really?
I mean, yeah, like, there were sometimes they would say stuff like that. But he had this really bad sunburn, and we were serving a Caesar salad, and his skin was peeling. And he rubbed his arm skin into the top of the salad, like fresh grated Parmesan
yeah,
cheese.
Like Parmesan.
So bad. The moral of the story is be nice to your waiters. And tip us big, because the next time you come in, you might be eating skin too.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that generally
That's
doesn't
gross.
Happen, but I
know.
I mean... You know,
well, you never know how much it happens.
Yeah, but really you should be kind and respectful anyway to everybody, but especially to your servers.
Yeah.
I have some like nightmare stories, yeah. My friend and I were going to do a video on like how you should go out, like how you should behave when you go out to a restaurant.
Really?
I mean, are you annoying when you go into a restaurant? Like, I don't want to sit here. I want to sit here. I mean, you send the food back though.
No.
You said it's always hot or cold.
No, but I don't send it back.
Oh, you just complain to the people you're with?
Yeah.
This sucks. I hate it. Well, why don't you send it back? No, it's fine. Freaking sucky food.
No, I'm very timid with these things. You know, I don't like to start confrontations and that. You know?
Really? You?
Yeah.
You said yesterday you liked fighting a little bit. Do you remember that?
Yeah, a little bit.
Just not with the waiters.
No.
Because you know you might have some spit.
No,
food.
I mean, that's with people I don't know. You
right.
know?
Well, that's good. Yeah. So you fight and hate the people in your life.
Exactly. We usually hurt the people we love that are closest to us.
That is true. Yeah. Except some of us that are perfect.
Yes. Who are taking over their fucking radio show.
Not according to this 58 other prior co-hosts. I'm curious as to when they got kicked off or when they left. When it was like when they were
nobody ever got kicked off.
They all leave you.
Yeah.
What's the common denominator here?
Moving on to better things. I don't know. Actually, that's not true.
I was going to say, what
yeah,
do you
I just
do?
Don't want to get into the details.
I didn't need exact details.
Because I don't like to speak ill of other people.
Yeah,
you know?
I just meant, you know, I just meant if they're all leaving, maybe it has something to do with you. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I'm joking.
We'll see how long you'll stick around.
Well, it's as long as you keep me.
Yeah. Until I leave, right?
Until I kick you out.
No, I have a feeling you'll stick around for a while.
Yeah, I love it.
I really do.
I love it.
Yeah, I can tell you do. Well, awesome.
On that corny note.
On that corny note.
Let's talk about death.
Well, we don't have any time left to talk.
Thank God, because you would have just switched it right back to sadness.
Yeah, there you go. Depress you to death.
And famine and war.
You know, out of nowhere, you know, we go from Evel Knievel to the fucking Holocaust, man.
Leave it up to Sam.
Yeah. Only here. Thank you all for joining us. Sherry, thank you.
Thank you. Have a beautiful day.
You
everybody.
Too. Are you off again today?
Yes.
You're off every fucking day.
Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I took off for you.
Oh, thank you very much. Okay, well, enjoy your time.
Like, fuck you, Sam.
Yeah.
It's my bank account.
So you blame me instead of thanking me, right?
No, I'm thanking you. My bank account's not.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Have a good day, everybody.
All right. See you tomorrow.
And now it's time for the best morning show on radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Sherry in the Morning. To join the show, dial 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. And now, here's your morning show hosts, Sam and Sherry.